The following is a Fourth Hand production.
In a world that was the land of the free for some, and the land of the chains for others.
You can buy the whole lot of them for $800.
One man finally decided he had had enough.
The only way we'll be truly free is to escape this tyranny.
As he leads his family and friends on the most daring escape of the Civil War.
But how will we pass the checkpoints without a captain of the ship?
I am the captain of this ship. She's called the Planter, and my name is Robert Smalls.
This fall, follow the journey of a man who believes in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
If they learn of our charade, burn the boilers and scuttle the Planter. We must live free or die.
And lets nothing get in his way.
That's literally Fort Sumter we're about to pass with a boat full of Confederate guns on our way to surrender it all to the North. How will we not be caught?
How could we be caught with God on our side and all of their signals at the ready?
Learn the story of a man who fought bigotry and hatred his entire life while rising from born slave to the halls of Congress itself.
Robert, you stole a Confederate ship, disguised yourself as the captain, used secret hand signals to escape, rescued numerous other slaves, then captained the very ship you stole. You followed that up with buying the house you were once a slave in, the boat you were once a slave on, and even allowing your former owners to live on your property. And now you've been elected to the United States Congress. What could possibly be next?
Oh, I'm just getting started. The story of Robert Smalls. A tale so incredible, it should be a movie. Next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never captained a ship. But if we had, we imagine it would be a lot less like Robert Smalls and a lot more Gilbert and Sullivan. This is Hysteria 51.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fight's historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and head professors on this trip through history, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
These two great gentlemen are dedicated to a proposition which was true in my time, just as it's true today. Be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes!
Amazing historic topic tonight, John. It is everything. Drama, action, romance, good old-fashioned ass-kickings for racists.
Yes, it
Why
does.
Can't you? You can't get enough of that.
I never get enough of that. And like you heard in our intro, it literally plays out like a movie. And it takes place mostly around the Civil War. We also heard from another movie that has a character from that same time period who went on, let's call it, an adventure.
47 minutes ago. We, your forefathers, were brought forth upon a most excellent adventure.
Now, Brent, with Pecker not here, I took the opportunity to use any clip from that movie that wasn't in time.
No problem. I can help with that.
That's what you shall receive. Oh, that other voice you're hearing is a third host of this show, and certainly the most annoying.
The one and only, thank God, conspiracy bot.
I'm not annoying. You're annoying. and also will be bleeding soon.
When is he not threatening my life? When he's not threatening my life, though, he's playing overused clips. He's supposed to be researching, editing, and producing the show, John.
Instead, he just annoys the listeners while drinking profusely.
Takes one to know one.
I'm not even going to start with you. Last time on this show, he said to me that he was
I don't know why I literally asked for that. You did.
I did. And I'll make sure not to do it again. I really think I'm going to install a kill switch for him.
Engage.
It's actually a great idea. In the meantime,
make
though,
it so, number one.
Let's get to tonight's topic. Dude, you really do need to install that kill switch.
I know. You know what?
You bought one on Amazon, right?
Yeah. You know what? I'm so excited. I'm going to make it light up.
What color?
Green.
For hysteria. Go. Perfect. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Oh, man. So history report.
Let's get to tonight's topic.
This is a history report, and it is a lot of fun.
I'm here to help you with your history report.
What? How?
This is someone that you should probably know about. A lot of people don't, and that's what's sad. So
simply put, this guy was one badass motherfucker.
For a meat sack, I guess he was all right.
So that's why we're doing this. I mean, not only is it lots of spy shit and conspiracies and shit against the Southern government, but it's just cool.
Yeah, and not only was he a badass, I mean, we regularly talk on this show about amazing and incredible things in people, and he is no exception.
Yeah, he is. I don't know if you know this, but his wallet said badass motherfucker on it.
Oh, literally. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
As you heard in the intro, this guy's story and life play out like a Hollywood script. You hear the story, and it's one of the few times that you like get online and check Snopes, and it says true. In green, you're like, oh.
There are a lot of poorly produced videos about this guy with like the background music as they talk about his life, you know. But
I've seen memes go around, and if you weren't familiar with who Robert Smalls was,
Robert Smalls, motherfucker. I mean, like that needs to be the meme.
That's true.
But he yells at you.
But
so
if you weren't familiar with who he was, you're like, there's no way that's true. And like I was saying, but then you go to Snopes and you're like, it is true. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Let's
break it down, John, with Robert Smalls, the early years.
It's like a Ken Burns 9-part. All right.
Robert Smalls was born to a house slave, Lydia Polite, in Belfort, South Carolina, April 5th, 1839. That's usually how they have some just terrible, like, you're talking about something that's going to be exciting, so make it as dry
and,
as possible.
And, or awful as
but
possible.
But literally, he was born to a house slave, you know?
And Beaufort,
which
South
actually
Carolina.
Is an important part. He was born to this house slave, and that plays into his formidable years.
Lots of debate over how you say this by people who aren't from South Carolina. It's Beaufort.
Or Beaufort.
Not Beaufort.
Beaufort, Beaufort?
Beaufort.
At least you know what? If you live there, you can call it whatever you want.
That's true.
Like, oh.
I don't think
Louisville.
Anyone.
Oh. Where are you from? Orleans. Oh. I hate when people go to New Orleans for the first time. I was in Nolens this weekend. Like, what are you? Like, you live in Chicago. Yeah, but I was in Nolens.
Where'd you go this week? Cincinnati. Cincy.
Yeah.
San Fran.
Yeah. No one ever just takes a shit and go, I was in Philly.
What? I don't even understand what that
They're
means.
They're shitting in the streets and
Let's
stuff.
Move on to the wonderful, wonderful topic of
don't
tonight.
Don't you
so,
ever cut me off when I'm talking about Philly street shitting.
So you mentioned that he was born to Lydia Polite. No one, or Polite, no one is certain who his dad was.
Yeah, it could have been his owner, John McKee. Some say it was his son, Henry. Others say it was this guy named Patrick Smalls. He was a plantation manager.
Which would make too much sense given the last name.
It's kind of on the nose.
I just made that up. Yeah. But what is clear is that the McKee family favored Robert Smalls over the other slave kids.
That's what I was talking about. Being born in a house slave, it's different than being born in the field. If you ever watched that movie Django Unchained, the house slave was Samuel L. Jackson, and then he was given preferential treatment over, you know, the other slaves.
Well, and also he was half black and half white, and so in this crazy fucked up world that is mid-century 1800s,
he was half okay to them or something,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but he his mom was almost worried that he was too comfortable and just like almost didn't see slavery as that bad of a thing because life was pretty decent. So his mother wanted to educate him. So she made him go work in the fields, even though he didn't have to. She also took him to the whipping post in town where they would whip slaves for trying to get away or doing whatever. Or she like even made him witness,
learning to read.
Yeah.
You know, stupid shit, you know?
She even made him witness a slave auction.
Yep.
To say it worked is an understatement.
Yeah, guess what? He saw this stuff. He goes, you know what? F this. I'm going to become a defiant slave. The defiant, I mean, he acted like a normal human being, right?
Exactly.
Like you do what anyone in his position you had hoped would have the strength to do.
Right. Like he didn't like being told what to do. So he wound up in jail a lot as a youth. So much so that his mom then made a request. She was worried about his safety. So she asked McKee, the owner, to allow Smalls to go to Charleston to be rented out to work, which again, we're going to say this a few times in this episode, is awful.
He was property. Like,
right.
That's what it's so terrible. What'd they call it? Chattel or whatever it was.
Back in the time of slavery, if an owner had extra slaves for the work that needed to be done, meaning they had more people and less work, they could rent out the extras and still profit from them because, as you said, it was just property.
He goes, yeah. So he agrees and he sends them out. And by the time he's 19, he had a number of jobs and was allowed to keep $1 of his wages a week. The owner took the rest. That's actually a lot compared to someone who is not making anything because you're just a fucking
slave. Because you're allowed to keep it because he was allowed to keep anything.
Yeah. But far, far more valuable than that was what, John?
The education he received. You know, he took a number of jobs and many of them were on the water.
Yeah, it's a harbor town.
And he learned that harbor better than most people in Charleston.
Charleston Harbor, yeah. And it was in Charleston that he earned the job on the CSS Planter. The Planter was this big steamer used mostly in the area's cotton trade prior to the Civil War.
And it's called CSS because it was for the Confederates.
Yep.
And that it was the CSS Planter. So it's Charleston's also where he met his wife, Hannah, a slave from the Kingman family working at a Charleston hotel. With their owner's permission, the two moved into an apartment together and had two children, Elizabeth and Robert Jr.
This is just so crazy to me because he must have been a hell of a guy outside of all this because they gave him a lot of favor, especially when he's like acting out against slavery.
Right.
But he was still just very smart, very, very, very smart.
And that's one of the reasons that a lot of historians believe that McKee actually was his dad, because no one other than your like family
took
would
pity on him.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Letting someone keep $1 a month from the work they do, or letting them, you know, be adults and is not, in today's parlance is
stupid and shows weakness.
No.
What I was saying is in today's parlance is still horrible. But compared to the way that other slaves were treated at the time, it was very favorable.
Yeah.
And that's why they think McKee was his father. But he was aware that this was no guarantee of a permanent marriage, because not only could McKee change his mind, her owners, Hannah's owners, could change their mind as well. So he asked his wife's owner if he could purchase his family outright. They agreed to a really big price, $800.
Yeah, only 800 weeks of work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money.
So you realize it would take way too long for that kind of scratch. So what do? You start figuring out alternatives to purchase. You know what I mean? That just, I am a fucking human being. I want to figure out how I can get my family out of here. You know what? I'm going to start thinking of some outside of the box ideas. And so he couldn't afford to buy his family on shore. He knew he was going to win their freedom by the sea. So he told his wife to be ready for whenever opportunity dawned on him. Whenever it was ready, it might be at the moment's notice, I'm going to need you to come here and we're going to get free.
We're going to get out of here.
She's like, the exact quote is, fuck yeah.
Is that, verbatim? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, scholars go back and forth on that.
So now we get to the first part of the story that Robert is really known well for, and that's his escape.
This could have been the whole part of the story, the escape.
Yeah. I mean, you could talk about this for an hour. So at the onset of the Civil War, the Planter, the CSS Planter that we mentioned before, with Smalls on its crew, was commissioned by the Confederacy. So remember, it wasn't originally a military boat. It was commissioned by the Confederacy for a variety of wartime activities.
Yeah, they had to destroy lighthouses, transport arms, map. This is a big one. Map the intricacies of the Atlantic coast. And the whole time that they're doing these things, Smalls is on there learning every fucking thing he can about this ship.
They were also responsible for putting down the underwater mines around Charleston. So guess what? Smalls knew where all those mines were. More on that later.
Yeah.
But back to right now, it's probably also worth noting that he moved all the way up in position to wheelman. Which was kind of like a pilot.
He drove the ship.
No, it wasn't kind of like a pilot.
Literally.
It was a pilot. Same job. Only you couldn't be a pilot back then if you were black.
Yeah.
So you got the term wheelman.
Which then becomes, you know, you think of what's a wheelman now. It's a guy. It's a guy in a crime spree driving the car. Yeah, but he was.
It's the bank heist getaway car,
which I guess could have came from that because he was the quote unquote bad guy getting away at that time.
Yeah, yeah. But I just thought it was so ridiculous when I was doing my research. So ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They were so racist and so awful that they would.
Well, they're
even
black,
if you had
John. So they're somehow. You know, half people.
Even if you
had
the same exact job, they call you something completely
different.
There's
no way you could do it the same as the superior race of the week.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Brent, because he proved them a bit wrong on that. By May of 1862, the Union Navy had set up a large blockade around much of the Atlantic and Gulf coasts that cut off shipment of supplies to the Confederacy. And this gave Robert his chance.
I can't get out. We're stuck in here. Time to make a move.
Well, he and his fellow slaves quietly developed plans to surrender to the Union ships because they had heard through the grapevine that the Union was allowing and taking slaves to surrender to them and then become part of their military and eventually earn their freedom.
So he sees this opportunity because on May 12th of 1862, the Planter had been on this long mission, and there's these three Confederate soldiers who never left the ship. They were never allowed to. They decided to go grab some R&R and head to town. It's pretty much just them, just the slaves on the ship.
What do you think they were doing? Do you think they were like, oh, let's go see a show?
I believe it was whores, if I had to put my finger on it.
So
I'd put my finger on a whore.
I was going more vaudeville, but you're thinking prostitution. I get it. Okay.
So he sees this. He's like, it's time. So he sneaks his family, several other slaves on the ship, and boom, he's going to take it out to port. Number one is they've got to pilot the ship. Number two, he's hoping that these guys don't see what's going on and go, hey, this is suspicious. And number three, he got to pilot it all the way through this whole place.
While you're piloting it, you have to provide the proper coded signals to those lookouts you mentioned.
So there's
so you're not found out.
He's going to go by three huge military battery forts, and he's got to give these, you know, toot toot, tug tug, you know, whatever.
One of which was Fort Sumter.
Yes, that's the third one, and that was the one that was the closest. And the thing that he knew he had to do, though, this is crazy to me, is when you're those ships, you just go right by it. So if he takes a large berth or changes his normal way he's going, they're going to go, what's going on? So he's just floating right by these batteries, these forts, and they're going, you know, they're giving the, yeah, all's clear, go on, because there's nothing weird about that ship being there at that time of night.
They were smart, though. They, as you mentioned, they do it during the pre-dawn hours, so the onlookers wouldn't notice that there weren't any white officers on board. You couldn't tell what color somebody was.
Yep.
And to help with that ruse, Smalls put on the captain's straw hat, and he even stood like him. They knew the captain of the Planter, you know, stood with his arms crossed, kind of standing near the helm. Mm-hmm. So he put the hat on, stood like him, kept his head low, and it's kind of dark out. So if anyone actually is making a visual observation of the boat, they're going, oh, yep, that's him.
They said that the captain even had like this saunter way he walked, and Smalls had been working on it so that if he walked and someone saw him walking down the sides, it would look like the captain, the way he walked,
his gait.
Yeah, that's hell of a thing to do, I guess, you know, a hell of a chance.
Also, on their way out, actually probably before they went through those checkpoints, they did stop at a prearranged location to pick up Small's wife and kids,
yep,
along with the families of the other slaves that were helping out on the Planter at that moment. So he, as you were talking about the toot toot tug tug, I went there once.
$13
when I was in Chinatown. So along those lines, he successfully responded with the proper coded signals at every checkpoint and sailed directly into the Union blockade.
Which is crazy because so they have this blockade. Here's this Confederate ship and he doesn't know what to do. So he's like, fuck it. Let's go straight. They didn't fire on him.
Well, they're barreling at him, and they almost did.
But they did.
They were just about to say fire, and one of the spot guys said, "Hey, is that a white flag?"
Yeah.
And sure enough, they had taken down the flag of South Carolina and the Confederate flag and put up a white sheet from that hotel that Hannah had been a slave at.
Right. So they saw this, they held fire and allowed it to get close, and besides Smalls, the planter carried 15 other slaves, got them all to freedom behind Union lines, 7 crewmen, 5 women, and 3 children, in addition to the cargo of artillery and explosives. And Smalls brought Flag Officer Samuel Francis DuPont valuable intelligence, meaning he was a spy, say Bez, including word that the Confederate had abandoned defensive positions on the Stono River. Hell of an info to have.
So imagine, you know, picture this. They just shot through the dark of night. They made it past all of these different checkpoints. They don't get fired at by the Unions. They're sailing right up to the Union blockade. He goes up to the front of the boat, and according to U.S. Navy accounts, Small's first words are, "Good morning, sir. I've brought you some of the old United States guns, sir." Because that was munitions.
I've pissed my pants, sir. Might I go down and change them?
That's what you and I would have done. This guy was a hard ass. Those munitions were from Fort Sumter, which originally had belonged to the Union and was taken by the Confederacy. So he, in turn, was returning those to the U.S. It's what a great quote, a great line, and a great story.
Right. The end. Right. Oh, wait, no.
Nope.
Sorry.
There's a lot more to the story. There's a lot more to the story before the war even ends.
Yeah.
He becomes this is only the beginning of
we'll
his.
Tell you what he does.
Of his, yeah. His winning
escapades
for the Union after the break.
Here's some guns, sir. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Tug. I just wrote a song, I think. The single drops on Thursday. and then my first diss track to Eminem is the following Thursday.
You're gonna get involved in that back and forth?
It's me, Eminem, and who's that guy? Like Machine Gun Kelly.
What's your name gonna be?
Big Hand Brent. I don't know.
Yeah. It's clever.
Yeah, handyman.
Would you say you have big hands?
Presidential. I don't know. How do you... I know that I wear a double XL glove, and it's
your ISIS toners.
Yeah. It's all that comes between me and my man. It's my ISIS toner glove.
Okay. Nation, we are back. And when we left for the break, we told you the story wasn't over, and it is not. The war did continue.
War were declared.
But Smalls is now on the right side of the war, the side he wanted to be on.
Yeah. He comes out and he goes, hey, here's a bunch of shit. I'm going to tell the North, you know, because he's a hell of a pilot. He made his way out of there, and he gives them all
really
the
good intel. Yeah. And he, like you said, he was a hell of a pilot, which we will refer to him in the rest of this episode as a pilot because he was a fucking pilot.
Yeah, but he goes on to help the North. He tells them the location of defense positions, all the outposts, and he tells them where all those fucking mines are, which is a big thing. And he kind of becomes a celebrity in the North, and he had a $4,000 bounty put on his head because of the Confederacy. And now the other thing to think about, John, is he didn't just bring them intel. He didn't just bring them artillery and munitions. He brought them a fucking ship.
On that ship was also a code book. What might have been the most valuable thing he brought. And the cool part about the ship is Smalls also keeps piloting, and he eventually gets a full-time boat.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what boat it is?
The Santa Maria.
No, it's the Planter. The USS Planter.
Yeah, it went to the North because of him.
Right. So he was eventually actually made captain. And once again, an awesome story of being a badass. So it's December 1st, 1863, and the USS Planter is caught in the middle of a crossfire between Union and Confederate forces. Now, we say crossfire because it wasn't like a battleship, yeah. Right? It was just caught in the middle of it,
yeah.
Working for the Union. The ship's commander, a Captain Nickerson, ordered him to surrender. He was a pilot, so he said, you know, go ahead and surrender.
I like to think he slapped him and said, pussy, because yeah, he did. Exactly, he refused.
Right. He said, no way. And he even gave a logical reason. He said, listen, I'm worried that the black crew won't be treated like prisoners of war, and we might just be killed.
Plus, there's a $4,000 bounty on my head. Guess what?
So
they're
also
only bringing
going to
my
die.
Head.
Right. And so little old Nickerson got scared and went and hid under the deck as the battle continued. Yep. So Small said, no problem. I'll take over.
Yeah.
He literally took command, piloted the ship out of range of the Confederate guns. As a reward for his bravery, he was appointed captain of the Planter, becoming the first black man to command a United States ship. Yep. Small served as captain until the Army sold the planter in 1866 after the end of the war.
What the hell? This warship's no longer needed. Who wants it? I've been trying to buy a destroyer for years, but they won't sell it.
Well, they keep phasing in and out of reality.
That's true.
Yeah.
The ones I'm interested in have people's fused to the hull.
Fused to the hull, yeah.
Now this is a story all about how some sailors got flipped, turned upside down. It's a story of how time and space got bent. I present the Philadelphia Experiment.
It's amazing. So Smalls does this amazing heroic act and becomes the captain of the ship on which he was once a slave.
I know that this sounds like we're overstating this, but we're not, because this is a time when black people were not favored, even in the North. This is a hell of a deed. In the South, that he had the balls to do this, and then in the North, it's a hell of a thing.
Well, and don't forget that slaves weren't taught to read or write. Okay,
right.
And you couldn't. It's even more amazing that he made this happen, because you could not join the Union Army if you did not know how to read or write.
Right.
The way they got him in was they basically made him a contractor, for lack of a better term. He became the captain. Now, while he was in the military, he taught himself how to read and write, right, and eventually learned. But at first, he couldn't.
Hook it on Phonics, work it for me. Sorry, that's an old Brian Regan. Remember the Hooked on Phonics?
No.
Where they're always like, the kids are like, Hooked on Phonics, work for me. It's they never show the people in the middle of it. Hook it on Phonics, work it for me. Not there yet, Brian. You're not there.
So the war finally ends, and we have our hero. In addition to securing his freedom in the escape, he also made a little scratch. He was awarded $1,500 as a for the ship and the guns that he had brought to the Union from
the
Confederacy.
Which, today's, that is $3.8 trillion.
You did the math.
Yeah.
Thank you.
C-Bot said it's right.
It must be.
That checks out.
Now, it's worth noting.
He's
it's
made
not
from
like
a computation machine, I'll have you know.
It's true. And also a toaster.
Yeah.
You made a good point, probably accidentally, I'm guessing. But you made a good point earlier, and you said, even in the North, it's not like everybody was perfect. That $1,500 was way less than they would have given a white dude who brought across the same thing. But better than nothing, I guess. He used the money, because it is a lot of money back then, after the war, to purchase the home in which he was born. He bought the house he was a slave in.
Isn't that a big fuck you to especially to the people around there at the time that probably were angry at him? And he's like, well, I'm your new neighbor.
So far, the ship that he was a slave in, he took over and became the captain of. Then he went back and bought the house that he was a slave in.
And not only that, he allowed one of his former owners to stay on the property. Like, hey, I'll be a good guy.
Yeah, the family was destitute, and he literally was like being nice.
Yeah.
To the people that kept him as a slave.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, right?
I don't think I would have had that kind of, even if I was a favored slave, as shitty as that sounds, I don't think I could have been that nice to that family. You know what? I'm going to let you stay here because I'm a good person. I guess he's a good person. He's a good person.
Quite frankly, you're not that nice to me.
He deserved it. You deserve everything you get in life, John. I just want you to know that.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you.
Take that for whatever it means to you.
I'll take it exactly how you didn't mean it. these are amazing stories. So far, we're talking about a man that went and created his own future, and he fought and got his own.
John Titor!
No. And he got his own freedom for he and his family and numerous other slaves. Then he went on to captain this ship.
To fight for that country.
That country. And you're like, okay, so that's two huge stories. You could probably, each one could sit in and of itself and would be amazing footnotes in history. We're done, right? Not even
no,
close.
The Reconstruction, this is one of my favorite things. And I'm not going to lie to you, and we're going to go to break before this. But I got to tell you, I didn't realize where he was from. South Carolina was so progressive for a very short amount of time. And then that kind of fell back.
About 5 minutes.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that. And he had a hell of a lot to do with it. We're going to talk about that after the break on more Hysteria 51.
This is the
place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
South Carolina, what a place to be. Oh,
North Carolina!
South Carolina, raise up. Like,
spin around your head like a helicopter.
Whatever.
All right, so the war's over, Brent.
Yeah, I talked about Reconstruction. That is what you do when you have a civil war and all of a sudden half the country's told, now, you be good. Don't do that again. We got a 6 foot, 11 inch, 106 pound president who's going to slap you into shape. I think those dimensions might be off, but you can't really prove it.
And, you know, it's funny. You talk about Reconstruction. It was people look back at Reconstruction. It was obviously failed. I mean, Reconstruction started when the war ended. And then by the end of the 1800s, you have Jim Crow laws
it had crapped down its own pants. And that's what I was trying to get. So pre-Jim Crow, they made a hell of a movement forward, and then it kind of fell apart. Well, but let's talk about that movement a little
bit. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're going to do here.
A part of that was what you're referencing is the new constitution they put in place for South Carolina and all of the laws they put in place and so on and so forth. And a lot of that was voted on by the populace. What was the populace?
Well, guess what?
It was like almost all African American.
And they were allowed at that time to vote.
Right.
You know, like you said, Jim Crow laws, but those came later and those changed. So, before we get into that, after the war, Smalls, guess what he knows how to do? Well, he knows how to be in the military. So he's commissioned as a brigadier general in the South Carolina militia. But he doesn't let that stop him. He starts a general store, a school for African American children, and a newspaper. This guy makes you feel lazy.
He really does. You know what I mean? Like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Start another business.
Yeah, and he's the first organizer. He's thought of to be the first organizer of comprehensive and compulsive public education for African-American children.
He's the father of the modern American public school system, essentially.
Yeah, and his success opened doors big time in politics. And soon he served as a delegate to the state's Constitutional Convention. Then he's elected to both the South Carolina House of Representatives and then the state Senate.
Interesting. You mentioned the state's Constitutional Convention. That was his first foray into politics as he went as a delegate. A majority of the delegates to the state's first Constitutional Convention were African American, and that's why they were able to put together such a good plan,
which allowed them to do things like vote and own stores and have places of note.
It's worth noting that over 30 years later, South Carolina did another constitutional convention because of Jim Crow and because the asshole racists didn't like African Americans having
those rights.
They looked
at this and they were, we don't really like these people voting and you know having a fair say. So, hey, Black suffrage is bullshit, you know, and we want to put a stop to it. Which I always think suffrage throws people off because, like, what, you know, end women's suffrage. No, you want to keep women's suffrage, right. You know.
The other thing that's interesting, that second, I mean, we'll go back. I'm fast forwarding a little bit, but that second constitutional convention, Smalls was also a delegate at. And when he saw what they were doing, he refused to sign it. Mm-hmm. And so he's just a badass.
Regardless, we're skipping those.
But before that, he was elected to the United States Congress.
Yeah. And between 1874 and 79, he served in the United States House of Representatives. But it's kind of not the greatest time because his tenure was marred with partisan accusations that he took a $5,000 bribe while he was in the state Senate. And in 1877, Smalls was convicted of the offense and sentenced to 3 years in prison. And Smalls released pending his appeal. However, in 1879, he was pardoned by the governor. And I say that because you got to understand, people did not like him. Putting him on the hook for it, I'm not saying he did do it. I'm not saying he did do it. But he is one of those people that you would want to frame for something.
Yeah, it's generally accepted by historians that he did not take the bribe.
Yeah.
And he was actually quoted as being angry about being pardoned by the governor because he wanted 100% his name cleared.
Yeah, he wanted to stay in court.
Yeah, screw a pardon. I want my name cleared.
So then on top of this, here's something that you're never going to see today. He runs for office. He loses the election. But he appeals to Congress saying there had been rampant voter fraud.
Which there had.
Congress looks into it, agrees, and reverses the election results and puts him in office.
Literally, they used to go around and threaten black people and say, if you vote, we kill you. And they and to prove their point, they'd kill a few.
Yeah.
And this is all going on while we're living in a free country, quote unquote. That's the type of thing they're trying to do to keep a man like Robert Smalls out of office.
And we can't overstate this point that at that time, it was so progressive that they allowed them to run, to vote, to run for office. There were so many black people there. They were winning. And like you said, South Carolina, among other states, looked at this and goes, whoa, 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 whoa. This is getting a little uppity. We're supposed to be the ones running stuff. So let's have a new constitution put in for the state. Strip them of their right to vote. They can't be in office. All these people that have been putting forth and helping the future then are shit on. And they lose their place in the world. So
and, you know, it started 100 years. I mean, well, there's strife still today. But in the South specifically, you've got all these states like South Carolina that have a large population of African Americans because they were forced to be there as slaves. They had established it as their home. They weren't going to – it's not like they were instantly going to move to the North or something. They still like the state they're in. They just don't like being in slavery. So you've got all of these African Americans. So they outnumber the whites in these areas. But the whites are the ones with money.
Yeah.
And money is power. Money is influence. And so there's this constant back and forth.
Greed. Greed is good.
And
I heard that somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah, I'm not sure where. And then so eventually it all comes to a head. And you, first you get Jim Crow laws. And then fast forward 50 years, you finally get the civil rights movement that honestly should have been a function of the end of the war in the 1860s.
I think Jim Crow laws is one of those things that it's just become a term and people don't understand. Like it was really just stripping people of their rights.
It's exactly
and,
right.
And it's one of those things where it just becomes a term and you go, oh, okay. You know, just like I was making that joke about women's suffrage or black suffrage. They strip them of their, you know, their rights.
We're not sure what that term means. The simplest way to think about it, when you could lawfully send an African American boy or girl to a segregated school from white boys or girls, that's a Jim Crow law.
Mm-hmm.
Enforced segregation.
Yeah, which is really enforced racism.
Right. It's just, oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Don't
segregation in general. Yes.
And people will tell you, you know, that they're, oh, well, this or that or the other. That's exactly what it was. You know, there's no splitting hairs there.
No, there is not.
To kind of put a bow on him, after running for Congress and all these things, his wife, she dies in 1883.
Hannah dies, yes.
So he remarried in 1890, and he served as a U.S. Customs Collector in Beaufort, from 1889 to 1911. And he remained active in politics, and he died of natural causes at his home on February 23rd, 1915, at the age of 75. Hell of a life.
Hell of a life.
From slave to commander to person in Congress to talking with Lincoln himself, to someone who couldn't even vote again, and just shit on, and third-class citizen once again to a country that he was willing to give
fought
his
for.
life for.
You know, he was the U.S. Customs Collector, and that was actually a nod from the governor, I believe it was. Or no, it might have been the president. Because of the laws that had been put in place, he could no longer hold public office.
Mm-hmm.
The customs collector, they could be a named person, and so they gave him that. So there were people around that were like, yeah, this is a really cool guy, but the laws of the land unfortunately didn't allow for it.
A lot of shitheads and a lot of people that go, wow, change is bad and I want this and that. Well, that's not how the world works, and it's unfortunate. And it is a blight on our whole past.
But the good news is the reason that we are even as progressed as we are today, which some would say we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
the reason we are people like Robert Smalls.
Yeah.
Standing
fuckers
up.
Fuckers like this.
Who making would, a difference.
Yeah. And took a chance and learned how to swagger like a captain.
And it is just one hell of a story, isn't it?
There's not a lot. I mean, it's just the truth, but it's a fun story. It's a military conspiracy. It's an interesting thing. And as Wolford Brimley was saying, that's the way it was.
people use the terms amazing and awesome way too casually nowadays.
John, our fans are right when they say that about me, and I'll ask you to stop making such a fuss about it. I know you don't get a lot of praise at home or through, you know, the people that listen to the show. It doesn't give you the right to knock me down a peg.
I don't need to knock you down a peg. C-Bot does it plenty for me.
For what it's worth, I hate you both an equal amount.
But my point is, my long-awaited point is that his story, his life, truly were amazing and awesome.
He pales in comparison to me.
Now, the life of... Absolutely, man. It's one of those things where you hope if you're ever in a situation like that, you'd have the wherewithal to do it. I wouldn't. I know me. I like to wear my pajamas all day. So I don't think I'm, you know, I mean, sometimes they're white, maybe, so I know I could have flown that as a flag, I guess. I got something going for me. What are your thoughts, nation? Like, what are some injustices in this nation that you look at and you, from our past, be whatever it is, that you go, ugh, man, that is some horse crap, and you want us to talk about it?
And were you familiar with the Robert Smalls story before we did this show? It's not that well known of a story.
Yeah, everyone knows his great great grandson, Biggie. But I mean, other
correct,
than that.
Correct. Who was obviously still alive.
Oh, yeah.
On the next episode of Hysteria 51. No. But they can let us know our thoughts in our discussion group on Facebook, Hysteria Nation.
Yes.
Brent.
How do they get there again? I forget.
Well, you can do one of two things. You can just log into Facebook and search for Hysteria Nation. Or if you'd like to take the longer approach, type in the words facebook.com/groups/hysteria nation.
There you go. And also go to facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That's our regular page on there. Also hop on Twitter at hysteria51pod. While you're hopping on things, hop on our webpage, hysteria51.com. You can find links to all these things, including our T public page, where you can get our shining faces, our smiling mugs, C-Bot, all sorts of new stuff. I got a lot of t-shirts planned that I'm going to be popping on there soon. But if you want a t-shirt that no one else can have, specially made just for you, you can get that on Patreon. Patreon.com/hysteria51.
Become a Patreon supporter.
Yes, and
we'll love you forever.
And you can get extra content there. We put out weekly radio dramas. We do up all night episodes. Tons of fun stuff on there. Sometimes I release MP3s of music for us, special back episodes of shows that we've done previously, including the 3-hour monstrosity that is the first time John and I ever tried a podcast.
I thought you weren't going to release that, and then I get a note in my inbox, your Patreon has been
we
updated.
We said,
with,
and I quote in the beginning of this, on this show, when we hit 100, we'll release it. And then I think it was at 95, you're like, you know what? I didn't think it was going to come that soon. It's a masterpiece. I think if we would just stuck with that, we'd probably be top of the pops right now. Don't forget, if you want to hear yourself on this show, voicemail time, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And we have a plethora, some might say, of voicemails still lined up, ready to go. John, are you ready?
I can't wait.
Here we go.
Hey, it's your good buddy, the happy host, Brandon, of the Happy Horror Coffee
Break. Oh, yes.
Calling to commend you on your last episode's intro. That was quite clever, and I enjoyed it. And C-Bot sounded great as well. And just to let you know, that offer still stands to have C-Bot go out on a date, so to speak, with Eerie's.
Stop it. I told you I am out of that goofy-ass Toasters League. And besides, I don't need no man anyway.
She sounds
gross.
I'm
a strong, independent black robot.
Well, excuse the hell out of me for trying to get you out of the house once in a while.
Hey, we don't want to ever get C-Bot out of the house.
The only way you will get rid of me is by offing yourself. You quoted Quentin Tarantino. Now, if you will excuse me, I'm going to go do something totally not illegal.
Well, that's my cue. I need to get off the phone. I have to try to prevent something disastrous from happening again. Great job on the show. Keep up the good
work. Oh, cut off. The plague of getting cut off, which is, I say, you just count to three at the end. We actually did an episode for them. You and I read a story for Happy Horror Coffee Break. Fun show. If you guys like short stories, it's a great show. Happy Horror Coffee Break. That was fun that he called in. And, you know, I don't think two robots getting together should happen.
It's a great idea.
See, but you realize that was just a voice box. There's not like another female you sitting somewhere.
Good. I'm just interested in the box anyway, baby.
Oh, okay. Next voicemail.
Here we go.
What up, guys? Shout out from Canada. I love your podcast. Can you guys maybe shout out mine, Strange Brew Podcast? A Canadian conspiracy podcast done in Ontario, Canada. I love you guys, and tell C-Bot to go fuck himself.
I like this guy.
Damn Canadians. Choke on a hockey puck, you moose fuckers.
Hey, now, come on.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. I mean, I know he can't help that he's Canadian, so calm down a little. Strange Brew.
A kickback to old SCTV days. Yeah.
Some Elsinore beer coming our way, hopefully, one of these days. All right, next up.
It's Padre F2 from the Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it was David Flores. Joe Beck on the radio at the same time. Oh, my God, I'm going crazy.
I'm not sure what he said.
Anyways, sorry about that. I went nuts there. Britt, you totally missed it. You had his part in the show where you guys were doing about John Titor, where he says, no one's came back to tell us we shouldn't be doing this. You should have just paused the show for like a couple minutes, and no one would have known the difference. It would have been really cool.
We don't lie on this show.
Only the truth.
I love this show. I had more to thought, but my crazy spell there kind of... You sent me off the edge there. Keep up the good work, guys. And oh, my God, you had David Flora.
David Flora of Blurry Photos fame. And actually, Padre, too, I was tweeting at him today, actually, on Twitter. So that's fun. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Yes, this is John Titor. I've come back because I've heard your show, and it was hilarious. But... I had to come back to the future. Or wait, am I going to the future or am I coming back to the past?
Maybe you're on a tangent.
I have time jumped so much. I've gone crazy. The Cubs won the World Series. Hell froze over. That is why there's no history past 2560.
That checks out, actually.
This is Padre 2 again. Love this show.
Fooled again.
I can't believe you got Flora and Peck on the same show for the Teeter episode. And you didn't mess up with the time continuum. That is something else. You guys are truly heroes.
I was a little bit worried about it because they did keep wanting to make out. So we had to cut out a lot of the slurping sounds. But otherwise, it worked out pretty well.
Now, is that actually true? Or is that just one of those things you were thinking about again?
No. They made out a lot. It was a lot to take. David Flora made out with a man in front of me. Questioned him about it in public.
And this is Padrea 2.
Yes!
I am so sorry, C-Bot. I did not acknowledge you in my last two phone calls. Will you please get these two men in black off my butt? They've been chasing me for miles. I can't take it anymore.
It's better than what
there
it is.
There they are.
But...
Oh.
That one might have been a cutout on purpose. Or not on purpose. You know what I mean there.
Always butt play.
A lot of butt play, John, but, you know, it's in your contract. So, kids, you want to hear yourself on the show, leave us a voicemail. What was that number one more time, John? Do you remember
773-669-7277. Just dial it in right now and give us a ring.
Huge thank you to everyone who's reviewed us on iTunes. We just passed 500 reviews, and don't forget, at 600, we're going to have a contest giveaway, at least a t-shirt, maybe some other stuff. We'll figure out what that contest is going to be when we get a little bit closer. Also, anywhere else, if you're listening to us and they got a way to review us, we'd love a 5-star, but whatever you know, be honest. But I think when you search your heart,
no.
It's going to be
yes,
5 stars.
Yes, be honest. It's 5 stars.
With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.